See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming. Get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse!
There was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Brian Nesbitowski.
And I'm also one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
Hi. Hi. Son of a bitch.
I wish you weren't feeling sick, Mark, because you would have normally given a much more verbose and reactive reaction to this. But Mark's feeling under the weather.
I'm under the weather. Yeah. That's an icky feeling.
It's usually fun when the three amigos get together and then Mark.
Yeah. It is always. Yeah.
Oh, so, Brian. Yeah,
thank you, Brian. That was a great intro. And
that's just
hey,
great.
Joe, what did you watch recently?
Well, oh, Brian, I'm going to tell you.
Let's try that again. Yeah.
Hey, Joe, what did you watch recently?
Yeah, Brian. Oh, boy, Brian, I could spin the yarns about the things that I watched this past week. There were plenty, movies aplenty.
Perfect.
So first of all, I went to go see the 2024 remake of Speak No Evil in the theaters. And I got to tell you, I am not a fan because I was such a fan of the original. There's a bit of a conundrum that I have with this. So they changed it. They changed the ending significantly, and I'm going to try to do this as spoiler-free as possible. I did enjoy the film. I thought James McAvoy was wonderful. I thought Mackenzie Davis was fantastic. Scott McNairy, who plays like the wimpy dad, is... I hate him. I hate him with a passion because he did this character so well. That was his job, is to make him seem like not despicable, but just such a wuss, you know, like not sticking up for his family, not sticking up for himself. And he did an absolutely wonderful job with it. However, what I appreciated the most about the original Speak No Evil, of course, was the ending, and they changed that. Now, here's the conundrum, which is if they had not made that significant change to the ending of the original film, which is only 2 years old, then it pretty much, I don't want to say shot for shot remake, but then the question would be, why remake it at all? Which still is a very valid question. Why would they do this?
Yeah.
So I understand that in order for them to separate themselves from the original source material, they've changed the ending along with a few other minor things. However, just personal preference, I like the original one much better. If you've seen neither, don't let this one ruin it for you. See the original and just go in your head by saying that's the movie. That's Speak No Evil is the original. Now, I know plenty of people that have never seen the original that went to go see Speak No Evil and they loved it. And they should, because standing alone, it's a very good movie. However, knowing what it originally could have been like, I prefer that one much more.
Yeah, so. Jimmy has a unique perspective on it because he saw through a very early, I think last summer sometime, he saw this through his press screening thing. Mm-hmm. And he loved the remake. He absolutely loved it, but of course he'd never seen the original. And then he saw the original after. So he liked it, but he wound up liking them both. He liked them both quite a lot. So he was like, I don't know which one he likes better. Because I think he liked them both almost like equally is how he said it to me. But I didn't like the original as much as you did. I did think it was just a little too bleak. It was like overboard bleak to me, especially at the ending. So I'm curious about this because I think James McAvoy is a good actor. I'm not sure what the reason for making a remake of this is, you know, but if,
especially when it's only 2 years old.
Right. Yeah. I mean, other than it's an American version and Americans just don't watch subtitled movies as much. Like they just, let them go.
We like to raw dog it. We're Americans. Yeah.
Yeah. Raw dogging it. but
why would they change the ending? Cause I think the original ending is perfect and I love how bleak it is. And
they had to do something. They had to do something. They couldn't just make the same movie, you know, so.
And see, that's my problem with it, Mark, is that like if you and I were to have remade the original today for the American version, we would have kept the ending the same. But then would have been asking us, why did you remake this? You just carbon copied a movie that's 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what so made that film so great was the ending, because it was like Eden Lake ending.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. Dang.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, they had to make a decision to do something a little different. I mean, the original movie still exists. You know, it's not like it's suddenly erased now. So, people can.
And if you're into like really, you can't really watch bleak, one or the other,
right? Yeah. And if you're really into really bleak stuff, you know, but there are a lot of people I wouldn't recommend to see that, you know, who maybe wouldn't be able to handle that ending, you know. So they're both exist now. It's not like one doesn't.
Right.
And it's gotten good reviews. I've seen like on Letterboxd, I see, you know, a wide variety of opinions on it where people, you know, loved the nihilistic ending of the original one. And so they're disappointed in this. And seen other people who were just kind of ho-hum about the first one, but they like this one better. So I don't know.
I will say that if I'm, and this is a completely goofy scenario that will never happen. If I'm in the mood for a movie like this, and I only have time in my day to watch one, I will choose the original, but that's just me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I'll never watch the original again. I've watched it twice now, and I don't think I'll ever watch it again. It was just, I think the
kind of
overboard bleak to me, but
I kind of want to watch it again just now that I've seen the remake to sort of remind myself why I preferred it.
Is it like word for word, scene for scene, Joe?
No. No, it is not.
No, it's not. They did change up, you know, some things.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll just wait until I can watch it at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I would, you know, I wouldn't tell people not to go see this in the theater. I would recommend it. So, I also rewatched just for kicks and giggles, cause I hadn't seen it in forever. Return of the Living Dead, which is one of my, furthest reaches of my brain, my fondest memories of horror films. That's the one that sort of clinched it for me. Like, yeah, that's the genre that I like the most. And it holds up. I love it. I can watch it every year, like Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street. It's such a fantastic film. And then last night I purchased Cuckoo.
Oh, yeah.
Have either one of you guys seen that yet?
Yeah, I reviewed it a month ago.
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay. I liked it. It's bizarre. It reminds me along the same type of scenario as like a Long Legs.
Yeah.
Where it's there's similar. Some sort of a creepy sci-fi element to it. It was good. It helped my interest quite a bit. I think I enjoyed the ride more than the destination, but I really did enjoy this film. I think it's quite good. As I gave it like a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I gave it 4 stars too. Yeah.
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 That's
a good one.
I think that's one you should watch, Mark.
Yeah, for sure. It was great in the theater too, because there's a lot of humor in the, like, dark humor that the audience got, you know, and it was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know how it would play at home, but I liked this one a lot. I thought it was good. Yeah, it's in my top 10, I think, right now.
And then lastly, I watched the most recent episode of, what is it, Horror's Greatest on Shudder.
Oh, yeah.
Which the last one that I saw that came out
was
Comedy Horror. Comedy Horror was out. But I found out like 10 minutes before we started recording that the finale is out like right now, which is Stephen King adaptations. So the minute we're done recording, I'm watching that one.
Oh, that's going to be cool.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
So and that's it. That's all I watched.
How about you, Mark?
I watched Stepfather Part 2 and The Stepfather Part 3. So I'll I did. I
Mark
had
is now our resident stepfather expert.
He is the expert on stepfather, yeah.
I was curious after the original. I was like, well, how are they gonna redo it? And it's with the same actor. So I went into that void of The Stepfather. And Part 3 is awesome. So but I'll talk about it after we, you know, talk about The Stepfather.
Is that the one where they say garbage day?
No, I'm just kidding. but The Stepfather Part 3 is a gem. It's a gem.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you, Matt?
I thought you went to see something in the theater last weekend. You didn't? No? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I saw Beetlejuice, actually the weekend after our last episode or whatever. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I give it three cuts. It's not great, but I had a lot of fun with it. I didn't care for the ending. There's a, like a wedding scene at the end that they just do something. I think they're trying to be, it's supposed to be humorous, but it missed the mark. There's like this kind of a musical montage sort of situation, not montage, but a musical thing.
Musical number
happens. Yeah, musical number. And
it's the day song old thing.
The song that they chose for it was just, I don't get why they chose that
swing
song.
And a miss. Yeah,
it was a swing and a miss. But everything up to that point, I really enjoyed. I thought it was a lot of fun. We were laughing quite a bit. At one point, we went with Danielle and my niece, and at one point, the Winona Ryder is, what's the guy's name? Justin
Theroux.
Yeah, at one point they're like engaged or whatever, and at one point he says Beetlejuice, 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 you know, and Danielle like audibly gasped in the middle of the theater and like slapped her hand over her mouth, and we're looking at her like, how could you be shocked by that? Like you didn't think somebody was gonna say it finally? Like, can you imagine going to a Beetlejuice movie and nobody ever said Beetlejuice times three? So I like laughed out loud at that. But it was and we had a pretty fun crowd. Everybody was laughing and having a good time. So it was fun. And I thought Monica Bellucci was great, and she looks fantastic. She looked like the kind of goth kind of Frankenstein doll sort of situation.
She looks like the corpse from The Bride.
Corpse Bride.
Corpse Bride. Yeah. But I enjoyed it. We had a good time. And then this last weekend we rented A Quiet Place Day One. I think Mark, you had seen this one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it.
Joe, you didn't see it yet, right?
Nope. I'm waiting for the book.
It's on, I think it's on Paramount Plus or
Paramount Plus.
Yeah, Paramount Plus. And it's good. I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty exciting for a prequel, for a series. I do have some questions about the rules of this world and these creatures. I do think that the more we get to know about them, the less believable, I guess it is, or something like that, because I don't quite get how what their rules are in terms of noise. Because wasn't that in the first movie, wasn't that kind of how they combated them? They played really loud noise or whatever. Something like that. Really loud music.
It wasn't music. It was a frequency. I think using her, their daughter's
earpiece.
Okay.
Her listening
hearing
device.
Aid hearing to aid. Create a feedback.
But you know, if they're able to hear something from like two buildings over, a movement of somebody, or even half the time they didn't feel like they could whisper to each other very much. If they can hear that, then some of those moments where the creatures were right next to them but couldn't see them, like, made me wonder, how can they not hear their heartbeat then, or every little movement or show? You know, if you have like a microphone on you that has got the gain all the way up, you'll hear every movement of your shirt and everything else. And so so some of that stuff, you start thinking about it, and it's you're kind of like, how is that supposed to work? And then they seem pretty much just like creatures. How did they get here? They don't seem like that intelligent, you know?
Yeah.
How did they get here?
You heard it here first. Matt thinks their aliens are stupid, and he hated the movie.
I didn't hate it. These are things that I started thinking about afterwards. I was like, this doesn't make a lot of sense because they came in on asteroids, it looks like.
But
I don't know.
You keep taunting their intelligence and they're going to come.
I guess so. Yeah, I shouldn't do that.
It does seem like humanity
folded pretty quickly, too. Like, we kind of just saw them and said, oh, screw this. We can't fight this. You know, I would think that machine guns and tanks and stuff might do something to these guys. They didn't have, it's not like their armor's that strong, but
well, who's the dumb ones now?
Yeah,
I guess
exactly.
It's us. Yeah.
Yeah. We're the dumb ones.
We didn't think of that.
But and then I did also the first episode on MGM Plus. Actually, in fact, Amazon offers a deal where you can combine AMC Plus and MGM Plus for like $9.99 a month or something like that, and you get Shudder and everything else along with that. And so I did that, and because there's a show on MGM Plus that's back, it's been on two or three different networks now, but it's called From. I've talked about it in the past. Really good show. Joe, have you watched it? Have you guys watched
it? I haven't, but I remember seeing a bunch of banner ads for it on my Amazon Prime home screen. And
yeah,
I remember hearing great things about season one.
Yeah. Yeah, I've talked about it in both seasons, but season one was good and made us want to keep watching it, but it wasn't like blow me away. And then season two was better. They really ramped everything up, and it ended in a really interesting way. And this first episode is out now, and I think there's going to be a new episode every Sunday. And the new episode is really good, and there's, it kind of goes, relatively hard, and I thought it's an interesting opening to the third season, so definitely worth checking out. If you have not watched From, it is well worth it to, I think if you just subscribe to MGM Plus itself, it's only like $3.99 or $4.99 a month, but if you do it in combination with AMC Plus, it's only like $10, and you get all of everything that AMC Plus has, plus MGM Plus. And for this show, it's well worth it. You might want to, I don't know, you could always wait until all the episodes are out, and then you could just binge it or whatever if you'd rather do it that way. But it's a good show. So
what else does MGM Plus like offer?
I don't know. I haven't really explored what they have on there yet. I just got it last night so that we could watch the first episode. So that's
pretty sure you get all the Rockies. That's worth it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Is that an MGM?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. It is. Yeah. I don't know what all's on there. I haven't looked, but I'm sure there's quite a bit of stuff because MGM has a lot of properties themselves. So, and then just a few things, announcements. Red Rooms, the movie that I talked about a couple weeks ago, is one of my favorites of the year so far. It is coming to streaming video on demand on October 4th. So that will be not this Friday, but next Friday, the following Friday. Or not the Friday this comes out, but the next Friday. That's it. And also, The Foot of the Bed is going to be screened at the Hollywood Horror Fest. We're an official selection, and it's going to, and we got a really prime time too. It's Saturday night around like in the whatever 7 to 8:30 period, I think it is. And
all right,
yeah, so it's a good block. We're also, I've been posting about the Spotlight International Film Festival. We're an official, we're now a semi-finalist, and so I'll be posting more voting stuff for that as well. The judges decide on movies they want to award, and then they take 20% of their decision is based on voting. The rest of it is their own. So I don't quite know how it works, but anyway, we'll be posting about that. Also, we're going to be shooting our new movie on Halloween night. It's titled On Halloween Night, and we'll be shooting that in a couple weeks and getting that ready for festivals for next year. And also, Joe has his annual yard decorations coming up, and it's kind of fascinating because Joe every year makes decorations, Halloween decorations for his Newcastle Cemetery, and he has a new Newcastle Cemetery Facebook account and Instagram, right, or whatever. So yes. if you follow that, you'll be able to see not just Joe's decorations that he has in his yard when he gets them out, but also his process of building it. And it's pretty fascinating, and some of it you can learn maybe a little bit how to do it yourself. So when are you going to have everything up, Joe?
We're putting up the entire display is a process. We are starting it the weekend that this comes out. Oh. However, my goal for the initial first weekend is to simply get the non-animatronic stuff out, anything that doesn't have batteries. So the tombstones, the fences, the spider webs, the pumpkins, things of that nature. And then over the course of the next few weeks, we start bringing out all the other accoutrements that may require batteries. And the only, for those of you out in California listening to wondering why, it's because here in the Midwest, we have something called seasons, and they can get really bad, and we can have things like snow and windstorms, and they will destroy your hard work. So
yeah.
I try to keep them safe as long as I possibly can. But
yeah, no, out here, we don't have to worry about that as much. This last weekend, we did put up our skeletons and our pumpkin stack, but we'll put up the rest of it this coming weekend. So
those things are huge, Matt.
Yeah.
They're just huge.
Yeah, they're like 12 feet tall.
Yeah, 12-foot skeleton.
They're so cool.
Yeah. And our neighbors across the street put out their big stuff too. They've got like a 15-foot one, I think, and they've got one of the skeletons like ours, and then they've got a bunch of stuff. They've got this clown that like pukes into a barrel and all kinds of stuff. Oh, so yeah, it's our neighborhood.
Reminds me of my childhood.
Clowns puking in barrels.
Puking in barrels, yes. Yeah.
All right.
Alcoholic. I did forget one other thing before you give me the Zoom. One other thing that because I didn't watch it, I read it. And I finished Stephen King's Mr. Mercedes.
Huh.
Have you guys read that?
No.
No, I heard it's
is it good?
It's considered a fantastic classic almost.
Yeah, it's great, but what I didn't realize when I picked it up and started reading it, that it's part of a trilogy. So now I've ordered the next two books, and I'm just simply waiting for those to come in before I start them. But they are self-encapsulated stories. So like the one that I finished reading, which is just the original volume one, Mr. Mercedes, is you could read just that, and it's got closure.
So. Aren't some of the characters also in The Outsider, or a couple of the characters?
Yes, actually, it's Holly Gibney, which he seems to be quite fascinated over, because she's in this. She is in The Outsider. She is in, there was another little story in the If It Bleeds anthology book. So, and then she's got her own book called Holly that just came out this past year. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Hmm.
What's that one Mike Flanagan Stephen King film that hasn't been released? It's like on the shelf for some reason. Dang it.
Salem's Lot.
I don't think that's Mike Flanagan.
No, though, that's not Mike Flanagan.
Oh.
Gosh darn it.
But Salem's Lot is finally seeing the light of day.
Yeah, it's going to come out, what, this month or October?
I believe October, yeah. I mean, I remember us talking about this last October.
Yeah.
Waiting the trailer looks great. It looks great.
Yeah. I'll see it.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It's going to be on Max, right?
Yes.
I believe so, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm glad they didn't make it like a...
feature?
Or like a an insurance... thing, you know, like that, what it was, the bat, or what was it, Catwoman, I think they made a series of Catwoman and then they just never released it and they took a loss as a tax write-off or something like that.
Yeah,
they did that with Looney Tunes too, like the Roadrunner and Coyote movie.
But
they said it was supposed to be awesome too. Bastards.
I did watch The New Penguin, that first episode of The New Penguin Show. It's pretty good. Looks good.
Worth a watch?
Yeah, worth checking out for sure. Yeah, and I've heard
Jimmy swears by it.
Yeah,
so
Jimmy's enjoying it. But yeah, no, I the first episode's good, so definitely worth checking out. So it's not horror, but yeah.
No.
All right, so this episode is Joe Jan's episode, so Joe, take it away.
I want to start off this theme with an apology and a correction. So I originally said when we were introducing this that the main character was also played by the father figure in Hellraiser. That is not the case. That gentleman's name is Andrew Robinson. And the actual lead in Stepfather, which is our first movie from 1987, is Jerry Blake, who plays Terry O'Quinn. So now that that correction is out of the way and I've humiliated myself entirely, we can get on to the rest of the show. So Stepfather is about a gentleman who, after murdering his entire family, he marries a widow who's got a teenage daughter. He sort of moves from town to town, set up franchises, doing crap like this. And eventually, you know, people are starting to get onto him. So, Mark, why don't you start us off and let us know what you thought about The Stepfather?
I have never seen this film before. I have always, you know, saw it on the shelf. And so I was kind of excited to see it. It's not bad. It seems like a, you know, one of those like 90s films almost. And I was okay with it. I have no idea why the daughter had to do a nude shower scene. That was just so out of the ordinary. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that was odd.
It was
she's so 16.
Odd.
She's supposed she's to, I 16. Mean, that, I'm sure the actor's not, the actress wasn't 16, but the character's supposed to be 16. And they have this kind of, I mean, it wasn't like a completely lingering, but it came out of nowhere. It was like, why are you doing it at all?
Yeah. Yeah. But in 1987, that was part of horror.
Yeah. Yeah.
In boobs. The 80s, you couldn't watch a horror movie without seeing somebody's boobs.
Yeah. I guess
it should have been the mom.
I
mean,
yeah, I could have taken that too.
Should have been the mom. I mean, it was just weird. It's like, oh, I'm looking at a 16-year-old nude getting in the shower. It says I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. It made me feel icky. But
the mom reminded me of the mom from Jaws.
Yeah. I thought it was good. I think the lead actor, he's a great actor. I loved his meltdown in the basement. It's kind of like he was having like a multiple personality disorder. And I liked how he was like an insurance salesman, and then he was selling houses. And I liked the whole kind of shtick he was doing, you know. It's a fine movie. It was all right, I should say, but it was like the end. What? It's like at the end, at the end. You know, when he's like they kill him off. You know, they kind of just like left it. And I was just going, well, there's a stepfather too. So I went to see. I immediately just went to Stepfather 2, And he wasn't dead, and he was in the prison, and of course, you know, he escapes and he starts it all over again, and then he gets his face mangled. And so in Stepfather 3, the actor from 1 and 2, he didn't want to do it, you know, because his career was, you know, doing well. So they got another actor. So it was a complete, like, face, you know, transplant. But the actor who was playing the stepfather, he had – his voice was the same exact voice as the actor – the original actor. And it was so jarring and so, like, fun to watch. And Trish from Three's Company's in it. She plays the mom, and she has a handicapped son in a wheelchair. And it was just a debacle shit show. And I absolutely loved Stepfather Part 3. I wish we did the whole franchise, because it was fun. That's all I got.
Well, you heard it here first. That was the most extremely detailed review of a movie I've ever heard. Matt,
I've never heard my
life. I know there's not much left to talk about since Mark covered it all, but what do you got?
Honestly,
he liked it.
I kind of get it, because this was hard to take notes on, because it was just sort of a simple story. Terry O'Quinn, I thought, was really good in it, and he was definitely crazy. Like, he was nuts, and the stuff he was doing in the basement. But I thought, for as outlandish as the idea is, it seemed plausible. Like, I'm sure this kind of thing has happened. I've seen it on. I've watched Dateline, Joe. I've watched Dateline.
Seen it 100 times.
I've seen this happen all the time. But there were some funny lines. Like, there was something I don't remember what. There was something with the dog. And somebody says, names don't mean much. There was just, like, a weird line. I don't remember what that was now. But and then there's a fight going on at school. And the teacher just kind of lets it go on for a while. And I'm like, man, this fight's going on for a while. And before, and I thought maybe it was a case where the teacher didn't want to step in and get involved. No, because that teacher, when he decided to get involved, was quite forceful getting those kids separated. Nowadays, we wouldn't do that. We would basically stand back and call for help, because
we don't really have a reason for these fights either. We're not giving that, but apparently it's commonplace for her.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if she's picking the fights.
Dad
or
died, you know, and then now she's got this stepfather who's kind of a dick. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's me. She just got anger inside, I suppose. But it just, we just see hints of it.
She should build a birdhouse.
Yeah. But as a stepdad myself, I have to say, this guy's going about it all wrong. He's not exactly doing a great job trying to endear himself to this new family. It's very different, too, because, you know, when I first came into Michelle's life, Reznor was young. This girl's a teenager. It's a completely different thing. You can't come in with your big dad energy rules, you know, and especially when, as far as they know, he's never raised another kid before, you know, and then this girl's supposed to, you know, her dad died a year ago. And then a year later, her mom marries someone who suddenly comes in and takes over the whole house. You know, it's just, but it makes sense. This he's an obsessive type and weird. There was some flirtatious boxing going on. I love that. I thought that was a good Mark move.
What?
Mark move is flirtatious boxing.
Oh God.
Let's see.
Typical there's a first moment, date stuff there, for Mark.
There was a moment too where I think the stepdad just looks at the camera, and I don't quite know why they broke the fourth wall there. It didn't need to be, and I think it was supposed to be creepy, but I don't know. Let's see. Oh, what and then there's this whole storyline of this guy searching for him that we keep cutting to. Right. And who is the guy who plays him, too? Was it?
I think he's on IMDb under worst actor ever.
He wasn't great. And
he wasn't that bad.
Yeah, he wasn't great though. But the thing is, like, the movie devoted a lot of time to his search, and he basically comes and shits the bed the minute he comes into the house. Like,
he brings a gun to the fight and he gets stabbed.
I know.
Yeah.
When you bring a gun to a knife fight, you're supposed to win that.
You should win.
That's like the whole point of that saying, you know, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Well, when you bring a gun to a knife fight, you should win that thing. And he didn't.
That should be easy. No.
And I think did he die?
Yeah,
he died.
Yeah.
Right?
He died.
And the minute, I mean, he didn't even, there was no hero time for him or anything. He comes in, and I get it. Maybe they wanted the women, you know, to defend themselves and all that, but fine. Then why have this whole storyline other than to pad the runtime? I guess I don't know. But overall, I liked it. I liked that there was also a pretty good autumn feel to this movie. I thought some of the cinematography was pretty good for the time, and it does, like Mark said, it reminds me of basically a typical 90s movie, Hand That Rocks the Cradle. You know, some of those others, another movie that we're watching, you know, we watched this time too, have a very similar feel. They have a very similar look, very rural, kind of suburban, nice house. It seems very 90s, you know, to me. Although this came out in 1987.
87,
I guess.
But, yeah.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Here's a question for you, Matt, since you're a stepdad. What are the rules of calling your stepson, you know, or it's like if you had a stepdaughter, calling them pumpkin and deer and, you know, honey. It's like, well, what's the ruling on that? Because it was just, I just felt like ill.
Well,
ill.
I mean, I think it showed he had really just a lack of self-awareness. Because, like, I suppose there aren't rules about that, but you have to have a sense of how the person is taking you, you know. And he knew that he's not endearing himself to her, and everything he's trying to do to win her over isn't working. So why would you, I mean, if that's the case, then calling her pumpkin and this is our family, you know, all that kind of stuff, just, it was too much. But again, this isn't a guy who he's trying to, you know, it works for his character, you know, but he definitely shouldn't, you know, he needs a normal person would enter, you know, try to push a little bit less, you know, especially in the circumstances. It'd be one thing if this had been a single mom and daughter for years, you know, and the dad had died or the dad had just left them high and dry or something like that, and they had been single for years and he came into the situation. That's different, you know. But in this situation, the dad had just died, you know, and that's not the same, you know, as just, you know, being abandoned by a dad. It's a completely different situation. And so, yeah, you would go into it not trying to push too hard, because this is somebody who still misses their dad, you know.
Yeah, getting engaged and getting married within a year is absolutely psychotic.
Yeah, exactly. After
psychotic.
After a death, too, like insane. But, I mean, the way they did it kind of makes sense, because it was at a grief group, so you could see how a relationship could go between a couple who are both grieving, right? So I that kind of makes a little more sense when the fact that he did it that way, but still it's quick.
Yeah.
Well, and he is a con man.
Well, yeah, that's true, right?
Yeah so and this he's gonna be whatever happens. She needed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, getting married to somebody, you know, it, like she says, well, I don't know much about your past, and you're marrying this guy, you're bringing this guy into your home, and she has like no pictures of him when he was a kid. I mean, this mother's a loony tune.
I will give you one example too. I follow this woman on Instagram who, because she had this video, it was either Instagram or TikTok, I can't remember which, but she posted this video of her husband with their dog, and he had died. Like, the husband died of cancer, and she had posted a video with their dog and their kid, and how the dog is taking care of the kid now that the dad's gone, all this stuff. It was very sad. And like within a couple months, the woman is like, has a relationship with some new guy, and everybody on there is commenting like, what the hell? Like, he just, your husband just died like months ago. So this was her, in this case, it was even faster. But anyway, I digress.
I want to point out a couple other things before we move along. I was riveted with this movie from the get-go. Hmm. Opening scene, see this guy, he's all hairy, starts shaving, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's all clean shaven, walks downstairs. The walk downstairs, I loved. That set up everything that I ever needed to know for this movie. You see the bloody handprints on the wall, you see the corpses strewn all over the living room. It mm-hmm. was great. And he just walked right out. And you know what? I was thrilled because when he walked away, he walked. He didn't take a car. But right. he packed up all of the clothes that he was wearing, and yeah. he dumped them in the ocean. So far, the guy's batting 1,000. He's not making all the other stupid moves that we see these serial killers making in movies. So I think the guy's got a good head on his shoulder. And I think the worst thing the guy did was care about his family. You know, is that a crime?
Oh, brother.
yeah, right.
But you know what is
he's
a crime?
He's protecting his family, that's all.
Or killing you know what, them.
You know what is a crime? Two things. Number one, when Jim, the guy from the other town, is trying to investigate, and he ends up talking to that detective, and the detective recommends, well, if it was me, if I was in your shoes and I find him, I'd kill the guy.
And yeah. then I'm like, scene right afterwards. Yeah,
you can't.
He's just blown away. Like, you can't tell
you can't
something that.
Say that.
Right.
And then the other thing is, I think the person that really needed some investigation was the daughter's psychiatrist. He's a little bit too friendly with her, and yeah, then agreed. Takes it upon himself to go book an appointment to see a house right. just so that he can meet the dad. That's psychotic right there.
Yeah, it was weird.
I
had the same vibes too, Joe. I thought that psychiatrist was going to make a move on her.
Totally.
I was like, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. That could have been like a whole nother branch of this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I would like to point out, I liked his character, but he, and this is the dad, this is Terry O'Quinn's character, the stepfather. As far as how he progressed, he sort of would show signs of being a psycho from time to time, but they would go, and then eventually his character deteriorates and he can't keep up with his own lies. But the one part that bothered me is we have no other point of reference with the scene on their front stoop. When the girl comes home after the playful boxing and the new potential boyfriend kisses her briefly, like 2 seconds, and he comes running out and yells rape. Yeah, that's just... like, wait a minute, hang on, there's like a million other steps from 0 to 100 and you right. skipped over all of them. And then so he yells rape when Stephanie gets kissed on the front steps of their house, and then when Stephanie questions it, the mom smacks her in the face and beats her, and then she runs away, and they just decide, you know what, just let her go, she probably needs to run this off. So I
she's a horrible
not the,
mother.
Yeah, this is not the best parenting movie ever. But yeah.
She did say it was just a kiss.
Yeah, and it was, and we all saw that. And I don't know what this dad was thinking, but whatever you do, don't remind the dad what his actual name is, or he will beat you to death with a telephone. So I thought that was a tad over the top. Like, look, you forgot your name. Your wife is just helping you out in your early onset Alzheimer's. You don't need to beat her to death at the telephone. So,
yeah.
All right. Anybody have anything else to say about stepfather?
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
So from the father to the son, we are now watching 1993's The Good Son, starring Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood, amongst other people. This is... a young boy, I'm going to read the synopsis and then I'm going to make my own. A young boy stays with his aunt and uncle and becomes friends with his cousin, a boy who is a boy at the same age, and shows increasingly signs of violent and psychopathic behavior. What's psychopathic is the dad. So this Macaulay Culkin's,
who looks like Will Ferrell, by the way.
Right.
He's from Hardcastle and McCormick.
His dad is David Morse. He's in tons of things.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of a different movie then. Which guy looked like? Oh, no, not his dad. I meant his. So you're saying his dad is psychotic? That Elijah Wood's dad is psychotic? I was thinking of the uncle, I guess, is what I meant.
No, I was saying Elijah Wood's dad is psychotic because his wife dies of cancer. Then they bury her in the desert in a ceremony. And then all of a sudden says, oh, I got to go to Japan to close the big deal.
Yeah.
That's nuts. And then the one thing that bothered me the most about this, and my final note that I have on this is, did the dad ever come back from Japan?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah. His dad came back, and then they show him back in the desert, you know, at the end, Elijah Wood.
Okay. At the beginning of this, when he was leaving, my immediate thought was he's going to be on that flight to Japan and that flight's going to go down and he's going to die. And that kid's going to be a complete orphan. That's how I would have spun that movie. But anyway, enough about me. Matt, what did you think of this wonderful film?
Well, I've seen it before. I'm not a fan of this. I did notice there was a line at the beginning where David Morse says to Elijah Wood, are you done bombing the universe? What line is that movie from?
Jaws.
Nope.
No, it's The Shining.
The Shining, yeah.
Yeah, it's when Danny was playing in the arcade room.
Right.
And Jack asks him if he was done bombing the universe.
Bombing the universe. Yeah, bombing the universe. that whole line... was obviously a reference to The Shining, the greatest movie ever made.
Yeah,
it's not the greatest movie.
Greatest movie ever made. Yeah. The music sounds the music in this troubled me because it felt like it was supposed to be on Golden Pond, like the incidental music. I didn't quite get why they chose this. It was a very 90s. This is a very 90s movie too, but the music felt and like where's you're crafty old son of a bitch, you know, that I was waiting for you, it's me, you old poop, you know, that whole thing. I was looking for Henry Fonda and Katharine Hepburn to come out of the woodwork. I don't know what it is, but I think American filmmakers just don't know how to write dialogue for kids. And Europeans are so much better at movies focusing on kids with kid dialogue from movies like, Let the Right One In and others like that. It just, the dialogue, the behavior of kids is not the same as adults. And you hear Macaulay Culkin choking on lines that sound like it almost seemed to me at times like this movie was written for adults and they decided to turn it into kids, those two roles. Kids don't talk like this.
Did you know that both of these movies were directed by the same guy?
Who? Which, on Golden Pond and The Good Son?
No. Good Son and The Stepfather.
Oh, The Stepfather,
Are both Joseph Rubin.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense because they look very much alike.
Very similar
look. And the cinematography and everything's very similar. Elijah Wood is really good. And the discrepancy between him and Macaulay Culkin is palpable. It's like enormous. And then there are like unintentionally funny moments in this, like when he dumps the dummy over the bridge and all those cars crash. How many cars are all of a sudden on this two-lane highway? They all seem to be going in the same direction.
It was 10.
Yeah.
10 cars.
It looked like 20 or 30 the way they kept going.
It looked like the Blues Brothers with the cop cars just going.
Exactly. Yeah. Macaulay Culkin, I have this note. He says every line like he's in a cereal commercial. all these people stand around watching the girl drown too, by the way. All these people are
just, yeah, that was one of my notes.
Oh my God.
This taped barrier here is not going to be able to hold.
Stand back. I
can't.
We don't want to fall on ourselves.
Yeah.
And they're holding Elijah Wood. Like,
right.
Like he's the only one trying, and then they just grab an axe and, oh, we're just going to. It, that was insane.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, like, you know, everyone, you know, rushes and, you know, falls in, but there's just not anybody. No,
there's not one good Samaritan. Right. Yeah.
Not one.
And they're watching. I mean, they can see Macaulay Culkin faking grabbing the girl. Like, it's, and nobody came and said, hey, your kid actually let her drown.
Threw her in.
Yeah. Well, that too. But when she was reaching for him, he was like pulling his hand away. That's so obvious. Like, what? The people are right there, 10 feet away. Ridiculous. All the, yeah. Oh, the uncle looks like Will Ferrell. That's what I wrote on here. And then the mom goes in. This is the funny part. One of the unintentionally funny parts. The mom goes into the clubhouse, right? And she's looking around and she's like, oh, this looks normal. No, crossbow. It looks like a homemade crossbow with deadly bolts. It looks all normal enough. Like, she just walks past
a hanging doll.
Goddamn crossbow and a doll hanging by its neck. Some things I guess you could chalk up to just boy stuff, but I don't know. They haven't noticed that their son acts a little weird. Like, this is just completely news to them. I mean, he's acting weird all the time. And I didn't buy the ending. It just, you know, the whole, I didn't buy
Sophie's Choice.
Yeah, the whole Sophie's Choice thing. It was a bit over the top. So
I loved that part.
Yeah.
My ending, dumb. my note was, if I were that mom, I would have dropped them both.
Aww.
So, you know, really? What? We'll start over with the girl.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
No, it's just so bizarre.
Boys are harder. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't believe most of it. I didn't buy most of it, and the dialogue I thought was terrible. So,
well, it's not a documentary.
No, but I still, at the same time, I this is one I had seen way back in the day. I think when we were going to Ambrose, I think I saw this back then, and I was like, oh my God, Macaulay Culkin is just awful. I don't know how he became, but he was huge. But I feel like this whole thing was just set up so that everyone could hear him say, "Don't fuck with me."
Yeah, that was the line.
Because he was huge at the time. He was like one of the biggest, probably the biggest child actors of that time for sure, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, that was what they were trying to do, like with his horrible parents that he emancipated from. I mean, this was like the push of,
yeah.
All right, he's going to be an actor, you know, and this is what it's going to be. And it fell completely flat because I mean, I'm not saying Macaulay Culkin's a bad actor now. I mean, he's really improved. But when you put Macaulay Culkin against Elijah Wood, I mean, it's just night and day. And
yeah.
I mean, thank God Elijah Wood is such a good actor, especially for a kid actor. I mean, he was miles ahead of Macaulay Culkin just with his acting.
Well, I mean, you couldn't,
just delivery of lines.
You couldn't switch the roles. Like, I mean. Elijah Wood would be good as a killer probably in this, but Macaulay Culkin, if he was the main character, it wouldn't have worked at all. He had to be his kind of, bad acting kind of worked a little bit, it worked better for that role that he was in than having him be the sympathetic one. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he's just so weird looking with those big puffy lips anyways. It's just, I don't know. There's something about him. He also has
like a pompous smirk just naturally.
Yeah.
His face is just like that. And so it worked in that way. But, you know, he wasn't a very good actor at this point in his career.
Yeah. And his parents, you know, they're trying to get all the kids as actors. So, you know, they brought in his sister and she's not a very good actor.
Kieran is really good though. Kieran's a great actor.
Kieran's fantastic.
Kieran's great.
Yeah, he's
fantastic. No, he's phenomenal. Succession. Yeah. Oh my God.
Even on IMDb, they list Rory Culkin.
Oh yeah.
In this movie, but he was just like as a photograph on a wall.
Oh really? Oh, that's
funny. Oh my God. No, I I do like the movie. It wasn't a slog fest for me. I only watched it once before, and I didn't mind watching this again. I'd started having flashbacks with that dummy, you know, being thrown out into the road, because I remember doing that kind of stuff when I was a kid, like not throwing a dummy, you know, in front of a car, but I'd be like up at the cabin when I was younger, and me and some of my neighbor friends at the cabin, we would go out at midnight and go by a road, and we would have, you know, cherry bombs and M80s, and we'd launch them at cars driving at night on the road. So I was like, oh my God, that was like, I can't believe like we could have killed somebody doing that. So I was having horrible flashbacks and some guilty feelings. But no, I like the movie. Elijah Wood's great. I love the ending for the Sophie's Choice. I felt my heart, you know, tug for the mom doing that. I mean, that's a huge decision. Huge decision. I mean, she's loved her kid all her life, and she's got to let one go, and she lets her son go. I mean, I liked it.
I have a question. Whenever there is a big cross-country road trip scene in a movie, why does no one ever take an interstate? Because when Macaulay Culkin is getting, his dad is driving him through, what was it? New Mexico. There, it's going to take you 15 times as long to get to wherever you're going because you're not on the interstate. But is it just better. Not, I know, it I'm like, better. That's the only, but it just bothers me. I'm like, nobody better. Takes the side roads.
And it's less expensive than shutting down an entire interstate to do a couple scenes.
I would just say cut the scene. Just, you know, all right, get in the car, close the doors. And the next scene, we're opening the doors in the town we need to be in. But
Well, Seattle, too. Like, what was the deal? It would snow at one point, and then there's no snow, and then there's just, like, a little snow. It was so inaccurate.
But is that where they were? It was Seattle?
Yeah, they were in Seattle.
Okay.
Now, I thought they went to Maine.
Yeah, I thought it was East Coast.
Oh, I thought they were literally the stepfather.
Or no,
the stepfather was in Seattle.
Yeah, separate. Wait, no, was it Maine? Now I'm getting mixed up with From.
Yeah, they went to Maine from New Mexico to Maine. Yeah, Maine is what I have.
That's
in my
right.
Notes.
Oh, New Mexico to Maine. That's right. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right. They were eating lobsters.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
And my other question is: you're now. In charge of your, I guess he'd be nephew, you know, in your house, and you're responsible for him while his father is, of course, closing the biggest business deal ever in Japan, which we know nothing about or any backstory. But this kid just lost his mom, and his dad is across the other side of the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, he's been in your care for like 2 days. Maybe, and you guys decide to go out to dinner and you don't hire a goddamn babysitter. That makes no sense at all. Oh, right. We'll just leave the three kids home by themselves all night long.
Right. And they're young.
With no way of reaching us. Yeah.
These aren't like teenagers.
No, they're 12. Yeah. They're 12. Yeah. I mean, my parents.
I don't even think they were 12. But you're going to let, even if they are 12, you're going to let two 12-year-old boys be responsible for like a 7-year-old girl?
Yeah.
But that's what they did back in the
that's
day.
That's horseshit. My parents hired a sitter.
No. they're old enough.
And especially if that was if they were really in that situation where they're responsible for a kid who just lost his mom.
Right. Yeah. No,
come on.
Yeah. If we were responsible for another kid, yeah. But my parents did leave me when I was probably that age, yeah. Back in those days.
I mean, yeah, my parents left me alone one time. I think I was 10. And when they came back, I was like with the dog up at the top of the stairs with a butcher knife because I was scared to death. And they said, oh, maybe he's too young still. So they waited a couple more years until they left me alone again.
And then there was a scene where Macaulay Culkin visits somebody in the hospital. That his mom?
Yeah.
No, that was
yeah.
No. No, it was his sister.
The sister.
Okay, visits his sister in the hospital, and his mom is there in the room.
Yep.
And then he leaves. How's he getting home? And how did he get there? Is he riding his bike to the hospital?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what they did back in the day, Joe.
No, they didn't. They just didn't think this through.
Yeah.
Swiss cheese in this movie. God damn. Bothers me.
Yeah, it's a silly movie.
Yes. And here's a not so silly movie. Let's move on to the Holy Spirit on this one. Ghosts, the Ward.
Shit.
Which I would like to just officially come right out and apologize for having you guys watch this movie.
Thank you. Apology not accepted.
I feel terrible because there's not even a goddamn ghost in it. I like this movie a lot better when it was called Identity. No.
There was. That's true.
Oh, no, Identity. True, yeah, correct.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So anyway, go ahead. Yeah. This is about a institutionalized young woman who becomes terrorized by a ghost, which it's not. That's horseshit. She's not. But anyway, it stars Amber Heard and Jared Harris. I'm fucking mad that out of all the movies that we could have watched that had an actual ghost in it.
Yeah.
And I picked this dud.
This film,
thanks, John Carpenter. This is John Carpenter's last feature direction film.
Yeah.
And
as well as it should be.
He should have ended one earlier.
Yeah.
He should have ended a decade over.
Anyway, I'm done. Matt, go ahead.
I think it might be Mark's turn.
Whoever. Just go ahead and kick this dead horse.
I'll go. It's fine.
Okay. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay. I didn't dislike this one as much as you guys did. I thought it was entertaining enough. I liked it better than The Good Son. So it's in between The Good Son and The Stepfather for me. Yeah, I liked it better than that.
It's pretty sad when The Stepfather was the shining winner out of all of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. I mean, The Stepfather was pretty good, but I
leaps and bounds better.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it enough. But it's not a brilliant movie. And no, there are no ghosts, so the Holy Spirit thing didn't really work. I don't think there are any ghosts, right? No, because,
No,
there's not.
But you think there is, I guess. You think there is.
She does. The whole entire film.
No, but, I mean, the idea is you're supposed to think that there is. But this is like one that is so
I was supposed to think it was a good movie, but it wasn't.
That's true, yeah. This is a very transparent, the twist is almost telegraphed. It's pretty easy to see.
Yeah.
When she first gets there, they put her to bed, but it's like the middle of the goddamn afternoon. Like there's sun shining in her room. I'm like, what the hell are they doing that? I'm like,
she's not sleepy.
No, I'm like, I'm not tired. What's going on? It's the afternoon. And then she keeps wearing her slippers to bed. Nobody wears their slippers to bed. It's like who does that? I have a problem with that.
Nobody.
If she's too tired to take them off.
Well, no, but she was wearing them all the time to bed. And I was like, I can understand socks, but why would they have her keep her slippers on? Like that doesn't – now, socks, fine. That makes sense. But I could see somebody wearing – especially that place looked cold and kind of, everything cement and bare walls and it didn't look like she had that many covers. So socks make sense, but nobody wears slippers to bed.
That's the thing you're picking on.
I was really mad about that part. Yeah, those things bother me when people do things that they don't do in real life. Those little things like when you're having sex, leaving your bra on doesn't make any sense. No woman that I've ever met would admit to doing that. And I talked to Michelle about it. I talked to Michelle about it, and the first thing women do when they go to bed is take that goddamn bra off. So she agrees with me on that one, and I think Danielle agreed with me too about it. That you don't. That just is something you don't. You also don't wear slippers to bed. Now socks, okay. Now people might have rules about that and say you shouldn't wear socks to bed, but socks make more sense than slippers are shoes basically.
As long as we're making a list, my number one bother in all of cinema is when people are on the phone and the conversation's done and they just hang it up and they don't say goodbye.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No that, goodbye. Oh, right. You just hang up. Yeah.
How do I know when to hang up the phone?
Yeah. That, bras, slippers to bed. No. Yeah. I defy
driving
anyone,
on the.
I defy anyone to try unlocking a door with a goddamn fillet knife. It's not going to happen.
It was
you cannot
a letter opener.
Do it. What's that?
It was a letter opener.
Whatever it is, you know, even worse.
I've seen it in movies. Yeah. I've seen it in movies.
Yeah, but I've also seen them pick the lock. She sticks it in like it's a screwdriver and just twists it to the right twice and poop.
Because she's not a good actress, and John Carpenter is old as fuck. He doesn't know. He doesn't care anymore.
And for the record,
her using
in her mind, she popped it open.
Her using
a, oh god oh,
oh shut up
god fuck Joe
and that's of course you may have noticed Sydney Sweeney as the young girl.
I didn't
yeah it's Sydney Sweeney plays the young girl who's chained up in that basement or
oh,
whatever.
Oh, is that her?
Yeah.
Oh,
great.
And this trope, which I don't mind spoiling this one. Joe, Mark, you know, you're going to be so happy. Joe, I'm sure you don't mind it. This trope of multiple personality thing has been way overdone and in way better movies, namely the one you mentioned, Joe.
Identity. It's great.
Which I hate having spoiled that one. But I'd love to see one of these where it's not handled as a twist. But we know it's personalities fighting from the beginning. Like, I would love to see one where it doesn't need to be some surprise twist, because this twist is one of those twists that feels unearned and feels completely cheap, and it feels like lazy writing. Now, it would be way more interesting to know or find out early on, at least, if there is going to be a twist, let it happen in the first act where you find out the character comes to realize that they are actually having, you know, a psychotic episode and that they have multiple personalities. And then
that would be Split. The M. Night Shyamalan movie Split.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
That's although probably that closer. Was,
and Shutter Island too.
But Shutter. Yeah.
But again, with Shutter Island, don't you find that out at the end?
Yeah. You find that out at the end. And Split isn't so much, you know, it's not so much like a huge twist in that way. Because we're seeing everything through the eyes of the actress. What's her name? Anna Taylor Joy. So we're seeing everything through her eyes. It's not so much like this is the idea of the unreliable narrator where they don't know who they are. You know what? Fight Club is sort of similar to that as well, but it was way more expertly done and not really the same kind of thing, but it was earned and it was way better. It was way better done. Sure. This was one where it was just like everything that had happened up to the point where this is revealed suddenly means nothing now. And we've just spent time. It was all bullshit. You know, and who was real and who wasn't. At this point, when you get to that point, you're like, I don't even care anymore. Like, I don't care what was real and what wasn't, because I feel like I've been duped. So anyway, my final note, though, is not bad. It's not good. It's entertaining enough. But I don't see Carpenter in any of this movie. Like, I don't see there's nothing. That if you were to show me this and tell me that, you know, just some random director I've never heard of directed it, that's what I would think. I certainly would not watch it and think, wow, that's such a Carpenter shot or a Carpenter music or Carpenter angle or anything. It just feels like anybody could have directed this. So,
yeah. Yeah.
That's all I've got.
Yeah. Fuck you, Joe, for this film. I hated it.
I deserve that.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen an Amber Heard film. I've never seen her act. This is the first time I've seen her act.
You never saw Aquaman?
No. Aquaman, that's DC. Look.
Jeez.
So is Batman.
So is Batman.
The Batman's different.
Oh, okay.
Batman,
but it's DC.
But it's DC.
Yeah, but
I'm sure you've also seen Joker.
Batman's a different. Yeah, I've seen Joker. I'm not seeing Joker Part Duoc or whatever.
Why?
It doesn't look. I don't want to see a musical. I don't want to see Lady Gaga, you know, singing, dancing, and I'm not interested in that film at all. I'll wait till it comes on Max.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, I'm not watching it. No, but Amber Heard is not a good actress, and all I kept on seeing is when she does facial expressions. I kept on saying she's got my dog stepped on a bee. And that's all I said throughout the whole film. My dog stepped on a bee. I didn't like the film. I thought it made no sense. It wasn't scary. What was the deal with the skin of the quote-unquote ghost? It was kind of like crawling, or kind of looked like the Ring kind of skin. I don't know. I didn't like any of the characters. I didn't like the actresses. The dancing montage was absolutely ridiculous. It went so long, and that's when I almost texted Joe. I just wanted to say fuck you, Joe. It was a stinker. It was a bomb. And the ending was just not even earned and worth it. And I just John Carpenter with The Thing. And They Live, and that other movie he did, Halloween.
Halloween.
Yeah. It's just like what
he needs to have this stricken from his biography.
Yeah. Oh, it's there. When it says John Carpenter's The Ward, I mean, what are you doing? Stop putting his name on his movies. They're not good anymore. He hasn't directed a good movie since when?
I don't know.
I don't even know. I think his last good movie was Christine. No, that's not true. In the
Prince
Mouth of Madness,
Prince of Darkness was good.
Yeah, that was good. That was what, early 90s? Oh, The People? No, that was
87. Prince of Darkness was 87.
I was thinking The People Under the Stairs, but that's Wes Craven.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's all I got for that one.
Joe, what did you think? All right, well, thanks.
Joe, what'd you think, man? Joe, what'd you think? Why'd you have fucking Brian ask you?
if we only had the sound drop for that, I would have.
Hey, Joe, what did you watch recently?
Thanks, Brian, I'll tell you. Actually, I watched a movie called The Ward, Brian. What we do for a sight gag.
Fucking Brian.
I thought when this movie started out and you see Amber Heard burning this house down with no backstory at all whatsoever, and next thing we know, she's at this insane asylum. I was waiting for this phrase to come out of her mouth. Wait, there's been a mistake. I don't belong here. But I was shocked because we never got it. But that's like, honestly, I thought that was going to come out of her mouth any second. I do have the same note as Matt that you cannot pick that lock with that letter opener. I thought it was funny that this must be the ward or the wing of the ward in the insane asylum where they only put pretty girls that can't act, because every one of them just seemed to be a carbon copy of each other. However, as we find out later, that was done on purpose.
That is, yeah.
Not a good purpose, but it was done on purpose. And whatever you do when you're in that wing, don't tell anybody you think you saw a ghost, because their response will be to give you electric shock treatment. And I'm wondering just how much of this is a construct in her head, but I'd like to know who designed the architectural structure so that when you go into the women's bathroom, there are four stalls. But in the last stall, there is a convenient giant ventilation grate, no more than 3 feet off the floor. It's almost like they put it there put the toilet in front of it on purpose, so you could step onto the toilet and then get into the vent and escape. And it's also big enough that, I mean, I could fit a small car in that opening for that vent. That just seemed terrible architectural style.
It was ingenious, though. I mean, with the penny.
Oh, I know. Give me your penny so I can take out the one screw that's holding this gate shut.
Yeah.
Oh, and if you watch it again, you wonder, it's like, did she just actually take the penny out of her own mouth? Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, whose mouth did she take it out of? Did she take it out of the mouth of the part of her mind that had the penny?
I don't think they thought that through.
Yeah. Yep. Also, they put her in a straitjacket and she's able to get out. It's like fucking Houdini. Mm-hmm. Like, she is just a master escape artist between the ventilation shaft, the letter opener with the lock, and then the straitjacket. It was just amazing. And I don't understand the rules. I know it's not a ghost, but if you had a ghost constructed in your mind, these ghosts can disappear and reappear wherever. But yet I can defeat them by taking a jug of cleaner and hitting them in the head or cutting them in their chest with an axe. I don't get that. That doesn't make sense. I didn't think you could have it both ways. I thought it was crap. My last note was, this is a disappointment because it isn't even a ghost movie. It was all in her head.
Yeah.
And I liked it better when they called it Identity. So,
mm-hmm.
Which, correct me if I'm wrong, we have not watched Identity on the show yet, have we?
No.
Such a good movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. It is a good movie.
Okay,
but it's one of those I don't revisit just because it is so dependent on its twist that then I really don't feel the need to watch it again.
But it's a fun rewatch after knowing the end.
I'll watch it. Sixth Sense there are so many again. Hints.
No, I've watched it twice, but the second time I was like, I kind of found myself a little bored because I kind of knew where it was going and it didn't have the same impact. You know, The Sixth Sense is similar, but I'll still watch that because there's some creepy set pieces and scenes.
I haven't watched Empire Strikes Back since I found out Darth Vader was Luke's father.
Jesus Christ, Joe.
Sorry, spoiler alert.
All right.
So that's all I got for Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we won't revisit this one again.
No redux.
Yay, Joe.
Smattering of applause for that one.
I will say this is better than my less than zero pick.
Oh, no. Yes, 100%.
No, less than zero. That was fun.
Or absolute zero. Absolute zero.
Yeah. No, it was less than zero.
Was it less than zero? I thought it was absolute zero.
Maybe it was absolute zero.
I keep calling it less than zero, and you always used to correct me, and now it's absolute
zero. Yeah. Okay.
Less than zero. That's a great movie.
So yeah. our next pick is Mark's. And actually, I kind of felt like the Ward was a Mark pick. Or no, maybe the Good Son was a Mark pick.
How dare you? Yeah. That's like kicking me in the nuts.
The Good Son is a Mark pick. The Ward is not.
Where you have to apologize after and say that
I apologized before. Yeah.
You have to apologize because not only was it not very good, it didn't even fit the theme. Those are the two requirements for a Mark pick.
No ghost in it at all.
Yeah.
I haven't done that, Matt. I have not done what Joe just did.
You have. Yes, you have.
I haven't.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I'll go.
Somebody had to be first.
I'll go through and find them. But yes, you have. All right. So Mark is the next pick. So go ahead, Mark. What do you got for us? I cannot wait. Is it going to be The Ward 2, 3, and 4?
No. So we're going in. We're going to do a franchise.
Troll.
Four films. No. Four films. We're going to do The Predator. Four. We're going to do the Predator franchise.
This fucking guy, every time we have a rule, Mark has to be the exception to a rule.
So we're
going to
watch Predator.
Predator 2, Predators, and the Predator.
But
the rule wasn't four.
No, four is fine.
We can only do three. You said four or three.
I said three or four. What was the Predator movie that just came out like 2 years ago?
Prey.
So we're not watching that.
We're not watching Prey because we already reviewed it.
Okay. All right. Well,
you could watch Predator. on AMC Plus and Hulu. You can watch Predator 2 on Hulu, Predators, Hulu and Max, and The Predator on Hulu. It's all on Hulu.
So all the theme Hulu. Is horror adjacent movies that aren't really horror.
What are you talking about? It's 100%. I looked at the IMDb's and it I'm was sure you did.
IMDb's.
Yeah.
Shit.
Can you find that website for us? Because I still can't find it.
Well, Joe's supposed to put it up soon.
It takes me to an empty page.
Yeah. No. It's got horror on it, on Predator. It's got horror on Predator 2.
It does Predators. Have horror on Predator.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a horror movie.
Yeah, they're
it's
horror.
Monster
they're
movie.
Horror.
Yeah, they're all horror.
Monster movies, I guess, yeah.
No, it's always best when Mark sticks to the franchises.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't done a franchise in a long freaking time.
Oh, The Predator does not say horror. Alien invasion, urban adventure, action, adventure, sci-fi thriller.
Urban adventure.
There you go.
This That's will Mark be an shops. Adventure. Yep.
It'll be fun.
Oh, but we're not watching Alien versus Predator?
No, we're not watching that.
All right.
Damn it.
Right.
It's going to be fun.
Oh, I know it'll be fun. Schwarzenegger.
It'll be a fun watch.
Get to the choppa. Man. Yeah.
100%. Isn't that Danny what that's Glover? From? Or Donald Glover? Yeah. Donald Glover's in Danny. Part 2.
It's Danny Glover, not Donald Glover.
Danny Glover.
Donald Glover
is the from Community.
Bambino.
Gary Busey's in part 2. Bill Paxton's in part 2. It's going to be part 2 is going to be a fun watch. I haven't watched that in decades.
I haven't watched it since I've seen it once. That's it.
It's going to be a blast.
I do like it's that be movie. Fun. So what are they on?
All
I
on
already
Hulu.
Told you.
They're all on Hulu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great.
Hulu, Max, for Predators. What are you sighing for?
I don't know if I can handle how scary these movies are.
They're scary.
All right.
Well,
so
Matt, if it's any consolation. Like Matt, if it's any consolation, part of this next 2 weeks falls in October, so you can start up your Shocktober's
that's true.
Thing and watch other films.
I can watch other movies. Yeah.
That might be scary.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so the a good segue, Joe, because the Shocktober.
That's why I'm here.
But before our next episode, October will begin. It'll be coming. What is it? Tuesday, I think the Tuesday after this episode comes out is October 1st. So that begins the Shocktober Challenge, which means we I don't know about Mark, but Joe and I watch one horror movie. Every year you back out of it or you like, I just couldn't do it. But Mark tries. He tries.
I try.
In the words of Catherine Horan, he tries so hard.
Jesus Christ.
But yes, the Shocktober Challenge is to watch one horror movie or show or whatever throughout the month of October. Sometimes I break down and have to watch a few shorts.
I was going to say, I would just say the goal should be to watch 31 horror movies in the month of October. If you have to double up on some days and skip others, that's totally fine.
Yeah. I try to do it once a day. It's just easier that way, you know, but. Also, I'll also watch a collection of shorts or whatever. So check it out. Also, don't forget that this the Saturday after the, I guess Saturday, October 4th or Saturday, October 5th, I guess, is when The Foot of the Bed is going to be screening at the Hollywood Horror Fest. So if you're in the LA area, you can get tickets at HollywoodHorrorFest.com. Come check it out. And the same day in the morning, I don't know if the ticket, I'm not sure how the tickets work on this. If you buy a full day, you get everything. But in the morning session, a movie that Joe and I absolutely loved that we saw at the Chicago Horror Film Festival. I think it was both of our favorite. It was both of our favorites, I believe, called The Kindness of Strangers. Mark was out getting popcorn when this was playing, but
his eighth bucket
of Mark bought more popcorn at the Chicago Horror Film Festival than I've ever seen before. And he kept leaving him places, so he'd buy another bucket.
But Mark left that place, and I think his physiological makeup was like 96% popcorn.
Yeah. The festival,
I love popcorn.
The festival director came to the concession stand. It's like, how are you guys doing? Oh, this one guy keeps
fine, except
popcorn.
For that guy.
This guy keeps buying our popcorn, so we're doing all right. But The Kindness of Strangers is playing in the morning, I believe, the morning session at Hollywood Horror Fest, and that was a really, really good one. That's one that I definitely want to see again. So I might pop over there in the morning to watch that again. So, all right, I guess that's it. So we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
He was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Hi, son of a bitch.